Whether you consider yourself religious, spiritual, agnostic, atheist, or something else entirely, there's been a shift in the world that I think that we're all aware of. The world changes all the time, but it seems like changes have been happening at a much more accelerated pace. What is the energy behind this shift? Is the world getting better? Is it getting worse? Is humanity advancing, or are we in decline? With so many differing perspectives, responses to these questions will certainly vary. One significant change that we're experiencing in the world is people are increasingly stepping away from organized religions. Over the past few decades, church congregations have been dwindling, with a significant decline over the past 4 years. So what in the hell's going on? Welcome to the Soul Surrender Show. I'm your host, Skylar Scott. This podcast is available in video format on YouTube and Facebook, and you can also listen to it on Apple, on Spotify, all the places that you like to listen to your podcast. You can find us there. You can also follow Soul Surrender Show on TikTok and on Instagram for additional content. Okay, on with the show. Since the year 2000, there has been a significant decline in church attendance, with the sharpest decline since 2020, the year that the coronavirus rapidly spread throughout the world. On average, church congregations now have 85% of the attendance level that they had pre-pandemic, with major religions generally experiencing the most attrition. 16% of Christians who regularly attended church before the pandemic have stopped going to church entirely. In short, churches are shrinking, but why? Well, one might conclude that people aren't going anymore because they got out of the habit. Perhaps they find that they are just as happy, if not happier, when they don't go to church. On the other hand, many churchgoers likely see shrinking congregations simply as a sign of the times. The world is getting worse, it's waning, and people are turning their back on God. Regardless of our relative viewpoints, let's just take a look at what modern religious organizations are. First, churches are corporations. Now, keep in mind that typical corporations have lots of safeguards in place to prevent fraud and misuse of funds. Second, churches are set up as nonprofit organizations, which on the surface, that makes them sound safer, right? A nonprofit organization isn't out there for profit. It's not there to make money and bring in millions. It's there to serve people or to do good in the world. And hopefully that's always the case. However, nonprofits do have to file 990 forms to the IRS, and these forms also are made public for 3 years after filing them. The purpose of the 990 form is to show how much money the nonprofit organization brought in and what they did with the money. So again, even nonprofit organizations have this safeguard. They have this form to assure that funds are being used appropriately. However, do all nonprofit organizations need to file 990 forms so that we know how much money they brought in and what they did with it? The answer is no. But there are only three exceptions to this rule. The first exception is for churches. They do not need to disclose to the IRS or to the public how much money they brought in or what they did with any of that money. The second exception is for organizations that were formed by or that are affiliated with churches. So churches are able to create affiliate corporations underneath them that also have no obligation to report their cash flow. The third and final exception to this rule are government agencies. No person or organization in the United States can legally bring in all the money they want, do whatever they want with it, and not have to report to the IRS or the public what they did with it, except for churches, the church's subcompanies, and the government itself. Which makes you wonder, why on earth would the government give churches this free pass with no accountability whatsoever? Why are churches given so much power? Churches are corporations that are run by people. And even if the people running the churches claim that they're doing this for the glory of God and the betterment of humanity, isn't there still a potential for corruption? Especially if no reporting is required whatsoever? Shouldn't they have to report their income and their expenditures like everyone else? Or shouldn't they at least be required to file a 990 form so that donors know what's happening with the money that's given to the organization? Not only are churches nonprofits, which do not have to pay taxes, but they're able to have an invisible cash flow both to the government and to those that donate to them. But hey, maybe perhaps you're thinking, it's the big corporations that we need to go out and tax and keep an eye on, not religious organizations. But how big is the religious industry? Well, there are 16,000 Starbucks in the United States. And if you live here, you know Starbucks is pretty much everywhere. In every corner, in the bookstores, they're all over the place. There's 16,000 of them. And although we see Starbucks all over the place, they're actually dwarfed by churches. There are over 400,000 churches in the United States. Religious corporations make up a huge industry. A great resource where you can learn more about this topic and you can find on social media is The Religious Business, which has produced a 7-part docuseries that'll be out this fall. Meanwhile, they're sharing a lot of great information that I think everyone, religious or not, should take a look at. They point out that while many church groups are operating above board, the corruption in religious organizations is disheartening, and it is essentially going unchecked. This is simply because churches in the U.S. do not have to show their books to anyone. And I'm willing to bet that the large mega Christian churches in the U.S. likely wouldn't even let Jesus look at their books if he asked to see them. So how much money is being raked in every year in the name of Jesus? Well, according to donation slips, I imagine, from patrons that actually donate, $890 billion are donated to Western Christian churches every year. $890 billion. World hunger could be eradicated with a fraction of that money. So good, trusting Christian people are donating billions of dollars with the hopes that the world gets better, with the hopes that we do the things that Jesus told us to do, with the hopes of taking care of the poor and clothing the naked and administering to those that are sick and afflicted. But for whatever reason, little is being done down here on the ground. $890 billion annually is world-changing money. And these funds have been flowing into church coffers for centuries. So in my mind, the greatest religious mystery is this. Why is world hunger worsening? Why is world hunger growing on the planet? If donating money to these organizations is a way of putting money back into God's hands to do good, what the hell is Jesus doing with all this money? A few years ago, I found my way out of a high control, the high demand religion. And I was always taught to be leery of the outside world. The outside world had people that would take advantage of me. They might manipulate me or deceive me or lead me astray in some way. When I was able to finally free myself from a lifetime indoctrination, I realized that all of the good that I'd experienced in the church I grew up in was also found out in the world. There was good everywhere. I also sadly realized that all of the corruption that I've been warned about that's out there in the world was also within the church. Over the course of my life, I've donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I always felt it was a privilege to donate a portion of my income to the church, and I fully trusted that that was the best thing that I could do with that money. I truly believed that these funds were being used by people who represented Jesus Christ and who would do with the money what Jesus would do. We were taught that tithing funds were sacred, and when we gave 10% of our income to the church and to the Lord, that money became sacred and would be used for sacred purposes. Again, I felt it was a sacred privilege to participate in that. In addition to being promised that our tithes would do the greatest good in the world, church leaders also taught me and my family that paying tithing to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was like purchasing fire insurance. They teach that when Jesus returns to the earth, he will burn anyone that didn't pay their tithing. And as silly as it sounds, the tithing is your fire insurance campaign was something that was taught over the pulpit by prophets and apostles for decades. This wasn't a joke. Even my childhood prophet, Gordon B. Hinckley, made it very clear when he said, "Some years ago, one of our brethren spoke of the payment of tithing as fire insurance. That statement evoked laughter. Nonetheless, the word of the Lord is clear, that those who do not keep the commandments and observe the laws of God shall be burned at the time of his coming." So that was a prophet making it very clear that this was no joke. A few years ago, Church Apostle David Bednar said this to church members in South America. Quote, "Now I want to say this in terms that I hope won't be scary, but they're true. If, having entered into the covenant, we don't abide by the conditions of the covenant, for example, if you or I don't pay our tithing, do we have the option not to pay our tithing? Nope. It's breaking a covenant. It is not the exercise of agency anymore. If some night you don't want to sleep, read the scriptures and learn what happens to covenant breakers. I guarantee you, you will not go to sleep." The audience laughed. "Now, I don't want to scare you," and Elder Bednar laughs, "but I want you to understand this is serious." Close quote. So again, different words, but the exact same tactic. Teach members that they will be destroyed if they don't pay 10% of their income to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You can teach the principle in a lighthearted manner so everyone can have a good laugh. But at the end of the day, this is not a joke. This is serious. You must pay the church to be saved. You must pay the church, otherwise you'll be burned. Elder Bednar makes it very clear that once you've been baptized, which in the church usually happens at around the age of 8, you no longer have a choice in the matter. You must pay tithing till the day you die. In his exact words, do we have the option to pay our tithing? Nope. According to the apostle, an 8-year-old child who's never had a job likely has no idea what he or she will do to provide for themselves as an adult. This child has made a binding contract with God to pay 10% of their entire life's earnings to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That child is taught that he or she no longer has a choice in the matter, not unless he or she wants to be burned for being a covenant breaker. And again, the apostle gave this speech to people in South America, people likely with large LDS families that might even be struggling to put food on the table. He's telling them that they do not have a choice whether they can pay tithing to the church or not. Their salvation depends on it. In 1997, James Faust, who was a member of the church's first presidency, championed South American church members for extracting and selling the gold in their dental work to help pay for a temple in Brazil. This was used by church leaders as a faith-promoting story when teaching other members. What makes this story even more sad and disturbing is in 1997, when the temple in Brazil was dedicated, and impoverished members of the church were taking gold out of their teeth to help the church pay for it. In that same year, the church created a company called Ensign Peak Advisors to help manage their wealth. Last year, the church and Ensign Peak paid a collective fine of $5 million for fraudulently hiding billions of dollars in shell corporations. After paying the fine, a church spokesman stated that the reason for the fraud was they didn't want church members to know how much money they had. So they openly admitted that the reason for the fraud was they were hiding the money from those who donated it. Because it's much harder to get people, especially poor people, to sacrifice, to give money, even sacrifice their teeth in order to give money to an organization if they know that it's one of the wealthiest corporations on the planet. The Mormon Church is the largest landowner in the United States of America, and it is sitting on hundreds of billions of dollars. And that's just the wealth that we know about. And yet the church is still sending apostles like David Bednar to South America to tell people that if they don't pay their tithing, God's going to burn them. I didn't know a lot of this stuff when I was a member of the church. And I wonder how church members are reacting to this, because this fraud, like I said, this happened last year and I've been out of the church for a few years. But I still have a hard time wrapping my brain around any way in which I could do mental gymnastics to make this okay. They are still asking impoverished people to help them pay for their buildings. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has a particular fund that's set aside with $100 billion. And this fund is called the Second Coming Fund. And the money is being saved to give to Jesus when he returns, which doesn't make any sense to me. Why on earth would Jesus need $100 billion? Why on earth would he even need a dime? I think we should take the $100 billion that's sitting in that fund waiting for when Jesus comes back. I think rather than saving it and giving it to him, we should just use it to bless people in need right now. Let's start using those funds the way that we think Jesus would use them if he was here. And when he comes back, if he asks where the billions of dollars that we were supposed to save up and give to him went, we can just tell him, we used it to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, and to administer to the sick. And if he gets upset, you can blame the whole damn thing on me. Tell him the whole damn thing was my idea. Let's stop hoarding and hiding immense wealth that we've been blessed with. Let's start using it to do good in this world. When he returns, Jesus will not need a second coming fund to meet the needs of the poor. Let's just give him a loaf of bread and he can take it from there. In closing, I want to be clear that I don't want to harm anyone's faith, nor am I encouraging people to leave their church congregations. Church communities do a lot of good in this world. But let's speak out against corruption no matter where it's found. A wise man, Eckhart Tolle, once said, "When you complain, you make yourself into a victim. When you speak out, you are in power." So let's speak out. This is the Soul Surrender Show. I'm Skylar Scott. Thank you so much for listening.